Well, the mountains of Nepal have long been a magnet for trekkers and climbers, but there's another side to this country that tourists rarely see, one that's shaped by poverty and poor health. For Nepalese women, one of the most debilitating conditions is uterine prolapse. That's when the ligaments and the muscles in a woman's pelvic floor are too weak to hold the uterus. Australian gynaecologist Dr. Ray Hodgson was told about these problems about 10 years ago and went to Nepal to see what he could do. He's been back so often now, the locals simply call him Dr. Ray. Dr. Ray is speaking with our reporter, Craig Borschman.
In 2010, I went over there and it was atrocious. The suffering that women, and as a result, their babies and children were suffering was massive. It's partly because they have the highest prevalence of this thing we call genital prolapse, the highest prevalence of that in the world. But there's a second reason as well. There are a lot of women and babies who die simply from the result of pregnancy complications. Being a gynaecologist, seeing problems in women's health, I thought, well, let's do something about it. That's when we started our organisation, Australians for Women's Health.
So what is genital prolapse? What's the extent of the problem in Nepal?
Genital prolapse is when the organs in the pelvis fall out through the vaginal opening, basically, and that's it can be uterus and bladder or bowel or any of the three. The extent of it's estimated about 10% of the population, which is massive. About 40% of the people who suffer with this prolapse are under the age of 24. When we get this problem in Australia, they're usually at least sort of 50 years of age and often older than that.
So is the problem in Nepal poverty, just simply too much physical hard work?
Poverty is certainly a major component of the problem. And within Nepal, the culture of Nepal is, I guess, responsible. The culture we love about Nepal, we love the serenity of the people, and it's almost a mysticism. And it's one of the reasons people travel to Nepal as tourists. It's just a gorgeous culture. But that very same culture has got a downside, it's got a bad side, and that's this gender inequity. That's this problem of patriarchalism, of domination of women by men in that country. And that, in combination with the poverty, leads to poor women's health.
So what's the story of Jamari? I understand that genital prolapse has physical and emotional ramifications, but this was a young woman, or an older woman, I found it hard to tell, who was shamed, very much shamed, by one of the most shocking genital prolapses that you'd ever seen. Did that story have a happy ending?
It did have a happy ending. It was a very delayed time before we could get a happy ending. We had to delay her surgery. A lot of women are not sure of their age in these areas, but she seemed to be late 20s with this severe genital prolapse. So her organs were falling out through the vagina, but they'd been there for some years as far as we could tell. And what that meant was, you know, she's incontinent, she smelled, she was in pain, she couldn't work. She clearly couldn't have intercourse anymore. And like so many of the women in her situation, she was banished from her home by her husband. So Jamari was one of the victims of that that horrible, horrible social stigma. And I can happily inform you that at the next camp that we ran in that part of Nepal, it was Western Nepal, she was the first person on our list, and she's a 3-hour operation, and we put things back together as we usually do, and we fixed her incontinence, we fixed her prolapse, and she's still got a few aches and pains, but she's just transformed. And there's not many things, I say this to our junior staff and the people from Australia we're trying to encourage to come over as volunteers and help us, there are not many things in life you can do that you maybe spend 3 hours of your life, in this case operating, where you can just transform another person's life for the next 50 years, I guess. The satisfaction you get from that, it's hard to put into words. It's remarkable.
What about at the other end of the spectrum, a young girl, Poppy, you called her, or she called herself, that was her nickname. Yes. Why was she so important to you, and understanding some of the deeper problems, the cultural problems that you were dealing with?
Poppy is almost 13 years of age, and unlike most girls and women even in Nepal, she breaks the mould of this painfully shy personality. Poppy, for whatever reason, and we still don't really understand, has got a bit of oomph about her. She's got some personality and a little bit cheeky at times in a very endearing way. She stands up for herself. She stands up for women's rights at the age of not even 13. She's well past that now. But she was our hope for women of Nepal, as dramatic as that might sound. But we thought to ourselves, one of the reasons that women are so downtrodden and their health suffers so much is because they are so dominated. But if a girl like Poppy, for whatever reason, can stand up and maybe inspire other girls and women to stand up for what they believe in and their education and their proper health and existing essentially equal rights in a very male-dominated world. If she can do that, then whatever she can do, maybe others can do it as well. And if she can inspire others, then they can have a knock-on effect. And in that region of the pool that she's going to go back to, they could have major positive ramifications.
Well, how are you doing then? Do you feel like you've gone beyond the Band-Aids?
Yeah, what we realised was the Band-Aids were essentially running different camps around the country, remote areas, and patching up as many women as we could and training as many local doctors and nurses as we could as well. What we realised would happen, we would do that, but then we'd come back 12 months later, the surgeons were taught had gone, and they were basically in the same level of poor women's health as before. What we decided we'd do is let's just stay in one area. Let's build a hospital just for mothers and babies in this area. Let's make it the focal point of teaching. The whole top floor of this hospital will be purely for teaching. Let's teach doctors and teach and teach and teach doctors, nurses, midwives. Let's demonstrate to this part of the world, we're talking about Eastern Nepal, that women's health is so important. They have a hospital for them and their babies purely for them. And educate the women and the husbands and the children, the boys and the girls at school, about the benefits of looking after women properly. With that, we can get to the problem at its source, and we can make slow inroads into changing their culture into one that's not so anti-women.
Fantastic. Real people making change, just doing what they know how to do, isn't it? Tremendous. Australian gynaecologist Dr. Ray Hodgson speaking with Greg Borschmann. And Dr. Ray has written his story in a new book. It's called Heartbreak in the Himalayas. And all proceeds go to the medical charity that he set up, Australians for Women's Health. Fantastic effort there from him and his team. Congratulations. You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 16 minutes to 7.